have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hello, everyone. We are coming in for a landing on our Flight Attendant podcast. We are here covering the finale of season 2 of The Flight Attendant. This is a perfectly nice podcast. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, as always, my co-pilot, I should say, as always, on this amazing journey, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I mean, this is a perfectly nice day, sitting in front of a perfectly nice cup of coffee with my perfectly nice co-pilot. It's not that bad.
Yes.
I knew that we would be tickled by the hammer line. Like, that's
the hammer thing.
Our biggest takeaway.
Yeah. Before we get into it too much, if you have not seen the finale of The Flight Attendant, please exit the plane immediately because we're going to do some major spoilers coming up. Like, there's absolutely no way we're going to be 2 minutes into this podcast and not be talking about the big twists at the end. So please exit safely right now. Get off the plane before you get spoiled. The hammer line, 100% my favorite, 100% the best line of probably the show. My favorite line.
I mean, that's like a hyperbole. I don't know.
I know, but it's so funny.
Annie has so many good zingers. I don't know if Jenny's hammer line is going to take it home for me, but as soon as I heard it, I was tickled by it. And yeah. I knew that you would be as well. And it's just like so nonsensical. Like,
yeah,
it's a perfectly nice hammer. Cassie, like, you should want to be murdered by this hammer. That's how nice the hammer is.
Yeah, I loved this. I just thought it was just so spectacular. I really, really, Jesse Ennis is the one who plays Jenny, and she, I don't know. I feel like she's made a breakout in the last couple of years. She's had a small part on Better Call Saul, which she returned for this season. She was also on Mythic Quest, or is on Mythic Quest, I should say. And her character is so outlandish in that show. And then, of course, when she arrives on The Flight Attendant, I think anybody who has seen her in anything else was very suspicious of her immediately. You could put me in that boat of like, no, there's no way this girl is just here to be someone in AA.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with her roles, so I suppose I was unspoiled with that, like, 4D chess aspect of the show. But all in all, I think that it was a fun twist. I kind of am happier with it than I thought I would end up being because we got Buckley still being the master manipulator and all of this. Yes, Jenny came into this equation with, like, a couple marbles loose, but...
Oh, 100%, yeah.
But ultimately, it was still Felix / Buckley from the sidelines, from jail, manipulating the situation to make Jenny like go and do these actions. So I think like if it was just Jenny being solely Jenny, I would be like a little lukewarm on it. But I still like the fact that like one of my favorite things of last season was if Buckley is going to be involved in this whole thing and Alex Sokolov's murder, then I want him to be like this like master manipulator, yeah, crazy guy. I did say an accent as well. So I'm glad that he's there still, you know, as if he's done this all of his life as being this like this assassin type of dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very pleased with it. I think like when you're taking into account Jenny and Dot, like the revelations for both of them, this is a situation in which, at least for the Dot situation, you know, we had pegged it, a lot of people did, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that that is like something that is wrong with the show. I think that because it turned out to be Dot and because we were given like hints along the way, it was a satisfying ending. And then I think for those who didn't really catch on to Jenny's shenanigans, that was the huge twist at the end. But huge massive shout out to our friend on Twitter, Bridget, who was the one who had suggested this theory episodes back, where she said maybe Buckley is Jenny's boyfriend, and that's what she's referring to.
Yeah, one of the great things about this show is that when they make these revelations, they flash back to different scenes throughout the season to show the hints that you could have missed. And Bridget got a lot of those hints. The necklace, namely, oh, my boyfriend would love me wearing that type of necklace or whatever it was. The imitations. I think that part of one of the reasons why a lot of people love the mystery thriller genre is to solve the mystery itself. And I always say that I'm a big dum-dum, and normally I don't figure out the mystery a lot of the times. However, you and I are, with the help of our fellow detectives, really analyzed the season, and a lot of the mysteries we did get right.
Yeah, and I don't think, again, I don't think that's not rewarding in and itself, right? Because, like, we're all watching with critical eyes, and when you have the group think and you have the help of other people attempting to solve the mystery, we're bound to get some of it right. And so I felt like overall, this finale I thought was very, it was great. I think the other thing is because we had such an intense penultimate episode, like the ending, it was very dark, right? Like, it's intense and it was dark. And so getting the more warm and fuzzy feelings from this finale, I thought it was kind of earned that, like, we had gone through the trauma of the penultimate. Yeah. And so to end on a lighter, happier note, I thought was very satisfying.
Yeah, and also another thing about the flight attendant, assuming there is a season three, which I haven't seen any confirmation on that, but I haven't seen that it's not happening, is that it seems as though each season is going to have its own mystery. So it makes sense to me that everything was wrapped up in a nice bow and there was no outlasting questions that I had. Just like they did with season one, there wasn't a lot of questions that we had leaving that season, except for, well, I mean, there's a couple. Where's Miranda? What's Megan up to? Yeah. There was a couple. If you think that if we never got a season two, I don't think that I would be like, oh, they never answered this question, I'm sleeping at night. Because, you know, Miranda went back to her job and Megan escaped, leaving her family safe. So if it was only a standalone season and that's it, I think we would have been fine. So I think that if we do get a season three, it's going to be another standalone mystery. And I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah. For me, if we're getting a season three, I feel like what needs to happen is, and they said this so very well, if that was their intention, is to have the Annie and Max PI firm be investigating a mystery.
Were they serious about this?
they mentioned it. They mentioned that's what they were doing. And like, I'm here for that. I love Annie and Max. I think that that would be such a fun season. I don't know exactly how Cassie would be involved, but honestly, we could kind of leave Megan in the dust at that point, which wouldn't make me upset. We'll talk about kind of her warm and fuzzy ending and if we necessarily think it was earned. But yeah, overall, I'm thumbs up on the finale. Great season. I really enjoyed it. I know I've been saying this whole time that I think season two is better than season one just because they laid such a solid groundwork in season one for season two to kind of launch off of. I loved the more introspective side of season two. It was much more about Cassie realizing who she is and mm-hmm. battling her own personal demons. I enjoyed watching that. Again, I think we both agreed that, like, yes, this is a mystery thriller. That's not necessarily why we're here watching it, though. I think, like, I enjoy that aspect of the show, but I think where the heart of the show is in Cassie and figuring out her personal demons. And so for me and her journey with sobriety and all of that, I think those things are much more interesting for me personally, because we proved that, like, when you get enough people together, you can solve the mystery probably. And right. So the more interesting aspect, I think, is just how Cassie is dealing with her sobriety and dealing with her internal struggles.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that that's the kind of bread and butter of the show. That's mm-hmm. what makes it unique and special. That's what makes it compelling, and that makes me think it's separate and different from any other mystery thriller, you know, show that's out there. Big Little Lies, Little Fires Everywhere, stuff like that.
Yep. So let's dive in now that we've been chatting about this for a little bit. Let's pop into the finale. Backwards and Forwards is the name. And like, here's the thing. When we end the last episode, the penultimate episode, with Grace choosing suicide in front of Cassie. She gets spattered with blood. And then we open up at a parking garage with Megan. I'm like, the fuck? That's a choice. That's a big ass choice that I was not ready
for. Yeah, but to be fair, I think that the majority of us would have thought that we would have picked up right back up with the same shot of Cassie. Yeah. So I commend the flight attendant for veering a little bit to the left. Once again, I think that's not a huge surprise how we feel about Megan's storyline, but for the sake of, you know, the finale and commending what they did, I do think that this is kind of a scene. Like, what a boss move from Megan. She didn't kill the dude. She just stuffed him in
so
she parks in this random parking garage and basically says, don't mess with me, don't mess with my family, I am not a pushover, and closes the trunk on him.
And I'm like, just, that's like, struts yeah. away.
I'm like, yeah, okay, you're badass. Good I just for feel you. Like, walk I mean, away.
Anybody who's seen Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, any of those shows knows you don't take a half measure. You full measure it all the way. Don't half-ass one thing, don't half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. Like, I feel like the move is to kill the guy, and maybe that's a bit dark, but like, it's a little bit, I don't know. She's playing with fire here, leaving this dude alive. So she leaves, keeping an eye out for the flight attendants, because she's, it's a choice also to travel on the airline you worked for.
Is it that she has so many miles that she has to?
But isn't she using her actual legit name, or is she still using whatever that fake name is?
I gotta say there's other other airlines besides Imperial Atlantic.
Yeah.
I gotta say that you don't have to. United, people love United. People fly on JetBlue. You don't have to take Imperial Atlantic and risk being spotted. I guarantee you that she worked with more than half of these flight attendants on this flight.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to get recognized. So she's like watching all these flight attendants. She sees cops walk by. She like hides her face in a book.
Which and then also, if I was a police officer and I was making the rounds and I saw this woman reading a book and then put it, like, see me and then put the book right up against my face, I'd be like, that's a suspicious person.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And so she does end up getting on the flight. We think she might be recognized for a hot second, but no, it's just some rando guy getting on the plane. And we find out she is flying to LA. So this woman, like, again, she's very bold, where she will fly to Long Island, take care of some nonsense, fly all the way back to LA to go meet up with Cassie. Meanwhile, we get Cassie being questioned by the police. We can see that she's, like, literally still in the Ferris wheel ride. And then we immediately flash to her crying in the hospital. She still has blood spatter on her face, which is, like, super awful to look at. I'm like, why wouldn't the nurses, like, clean that up? But whatever. And so then she's transported back to the Mind Palace. And Miss Perfect, I do want to give a little bit of a content warning here, because I do think we're treading the line a little bit of, like, suicidal ideations. So I would just proceed with caution if that's not something you can listen to. But Miss Perfect seems to be, like, pressuring Cassie into, like, listen, Grace had the right idea. Just get it over with. Mm-hmm. Think about how easy it'd be. Like, she is the version of Cassie who is just, like, having these thoughts of, like, am I worthy? Like, why am I still alive? Should I just get it over with? And it's pretty dark.
Yeah, we saw a bit of this last episode where Miss Perfect was like, go right now to Santa Monica Pier and put yourself in that position. And these represent her darkest thoughts at this point. And she's trying to shut them out, but they keep intruding her.
Yeah.
And then we get a text message from Megan, and she kind of snaps out of it. And I just, mm-hmm. once again, I just, like, feel so bad that she's going through this. And then we have, like, the Megan crap as well. It's, yeah, like,
Megan, this is not the time, girl. This is not the time.
I mean, Megan doesn't know this, but I wish that Cassie would just shut off her phone at this rate.
Honestly, I wish she'd put it on vibrator silent, but that's a whole other issue. But yeah, like, the other thing that will happen a few times in this episode that I thought was interesting and a very creative way of showing PTSD is when you have Miss Perfect clapping, and that is what jogs Cassie's mind to bring her back to the moment when Grace uses the gun, right? Like, it reminds her of the shot, and you see, like, flashes of Cassie's reaction on the Ferris wheel. I really like the use of that, because, again, we have to remember all these Cassies in the Mind Palace are all part of Cassie. They're all voices right. in her head. They're right. all versions of anxiety, depression, right? And Miss Perfect is just displaying a version of PTSD, where a clap noise will bring her back to the sound of the shot going off. Love that. It's going to be used a few times this episode. But yeah, Megan has terrible timing, as always. She's like, hey, where are you? Like, I need you right now. It's like, well, she's a little bit busy, you know?
Yeah, not now, Megan. I would just text her back and be like, sorry, wrong number. I don't know you.
And so then we see Annie and Max are in the waiting room, just waiting for Cassie. They want to know what happened, because they didn't really get to talk to her. I love finding out immediately. Shane and Benjamin are fine. They both just had stab wounds. They're okay. They're in the hospital. Everything was okay.
Is that what you call, like, a half measure? Once again, if you're going to stab CIA agents, then don't do, like, one little. But,
yeah.
It's just not very well done.
No, I think Grace's heart wasn't in it at that point, right? Like, I don't think Grace wanted to do it. So I don't think she was being particularly bloodthirsty at that point. I think she was kind of just like, I'm being told to do this, so I have to, but maybe I won't kill them.
Right.
And so Cassie immediately is like, why did you follow me? You shouldn't have followed me. And I just love how they're like, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah, you're the queen of why are you here? You shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Very funny. I loved this. And then Dot gets there. And of course, all of us are like, oh no, because I think probably most everybody at this point was super suspicious of Dot. Especially now that we knew Ben wasn't guilty. And so I feel like the next obvious suspect is Dot. She arrives and she says, I need to speak with you, Cassie. She's like, things are not fine. Your statement was very helpful. Ben wasn't involved with Grace. And she's like, you know what? That's on me. I didn't mean to encourage you not to believe Ben. And so she shows Cassie a photo that has Grace talking to another Cassie imposter, which is like super interesting to me. Like, I didn't realize they had multiple Cassie imposters.
I suppose it makes sense because they're at, you know, multiple places at the same time, it seems. But yeah, that is an interesting aspect of it. I kind of wish we got, you know, more backstory on like what Dot and Grace's logistics were in all of this. A decision of, you know, where to be of at what time and why they were doing certain moves. Right. I kind of feel like if anything from this finale, I don't think that like I fully understand. I know that they did it. I just don't understand
like the how of it all.
The how, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I think that this is trying to divert us away from being suspicious of Dot in this moment because right. She's showing Cassie a picture of herself talking to Grace. So it is very interesting. And also it's like, okay, so like we're thinking back, who is in Berlin? Who is having that intimate moment?
Oh, it was Grace.
You think it was Grace?
Yeah. Because okay, Grace maybe. Was on that plane.
Right.
Okay. So I think that I would say 90% of the time it was probably Grace.
Because she did the killing and she was doing right. It for Dot. Okay.
Right. And I think it would be really.
But then in what instances was Dot dressing up? And then why was she?
I don't know. Exactly. I think it would be really odd if Dot was the one doing all of this because she's putting herself really out there if she's dressing up as Cassie. Like,
exactly.
She can spend money to have other people doing this.
Exactly. So then, like, okay, so then maybe she never dressed up. Oh, as maybe another she Cassie.
Had two
maybe
imposters.
There's somebody else that was working with it, but we don't know. It's more like, likely. It's like, why would Dot dress up as Cassie?
And maybe and she's just so bloodthirsty that she's just like, I want to do some killing, you know?
I guess I just wish that we had a little bit more clarification about who was where. And then like if Dot was just like, I'm going to just dress up like Cassie today for the fun of it. It's like Halloween.
Yeah.
Or she never did it. But we're assuming that it's her in this picture at this moment plus Grace.
Yes. Yeah. All right. And so, right. So then she gets a text from Megan again. And Megan's like, I'm at the address, now what? And so then Cassie runs over to Max and Annie. She's like, I need you to do something. We see her run into Shane's room. And I think that one of the best duos on the show is anytime Shane and Cassie are in a scene together, it is so funny to me. Because he's just like, I need you to not make a big deal about this. Like, I'm fine, but I don't need you to draw attention to it and everything. And she's like, oh, it's just a little scratch. Like, you're such a baby. And he's like, all right, no, but it legit, like, actually hurts. So, like.
Yeah, Shane is great. I think that he's definitely probably my favorite character, at least for comedic stance. I think that last season we got Annie getting a lot of, like, the – you know, punchline zingers. And then this season, I think that Shane brought a lot of the comedy in it. So I love watching him and I love watching his relationship with Cassie develop and change throughout the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that it's like, it's pretty rich having Cassie come in after he just got stabbed. Because not because of her, but because he put himself in that situation because of her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I need a favor. And he's like, dude, I'm just like trying to recuperate from the last favor you asked of me.
That was killing me when he's just like, I'm in the middle of the last favor you asked me for. It hurts. It's not a paper cut. Like, I thought that was so funny. And so then Megan walks in. And he's like, I knew eventually you'd bring her to me. And so Cassie begs him, like, please help her into witness protection. She has so much information. Like, you can use her. And Megan says she's so sorry. She didn't know what she was doing, which is a lie. And I like that Shane calls her out on it. Like, yeah. Actually, no, you knew what you were doing. And so, yeah, I do. I love the drop too of Cassie confirmed to Megan that Shane was in the CIA and told her all about it. I think one of my favorite running gags on the show is that Cassie cannot keep her mouth shut about Shane being in the CIA and seems to tell everyone.
So Shane's going to lose his job at some point. I if know. You're not a secretive, if you don't, if you're not keeping the secret that you're in the CIA, I don't think you can be in the CIA.
It was very funny. And so Megan says, I want to make things right. I'm tired of running. And then we're back in the Mind Palace and Miss Perfect Cassie, has like, she's in between these two giant metal bear statues and she's like, oh, I'm pretending they're Megan and Shane. And then she calls Cassie out again. Again, this is, feels like the biggest like self-doubt Cassie, if that makes sense. She's like, you don't deserve to be happy at all. And she says, you know what? What does she say? I'm going to call these Grace and Cassie because they're pretty much the same, right? And then we're back to the hospital room. And Shane seems to agree. He says, I need complete transparency. So he seems to agree to help Megan here, get her into witness protection in exchange for information, which good for Megan. You know, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I'm happy that she finally came forward to, I guess, Shane. And it just seems so stinking silly because she could have gotten caught in Iceland. She could have gone caught anywhere or went to Shane at any time. But I guess she needed until that moment. I think that, I'll still stand by. I think that she's extremely selfish in that. Oh, yeah. She should have just walked right into the CIA, turned herself in if she's really so concerned about her family's safety. I think that it wasn't until she got caught by the North Korean gentleman that she realized that she was at the end of her line and that the only way to protect her at that or protect her family at that moment was to get caught.
She had plenty of opportunities to turn herself in exchange for information. Right, I guess like going the Shane route is a little bit more secure in that you're securing your safety before you give up any information. I guess like
you're controlling your narrative a little bit more.
But still, it Shane, is. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Shane hears her out, which is, I guess, the very like the least he could do, or I mean maybe the most he could
do. No, yeah, I was just gonna say I feel like this is big of him to like to take on that. I think he didn't have to do it. He's doing it as a favor.
But yeah, I mean I think it, you know, makes sense that she gave up information for immunity and safety and to get into the witness protection program. But
yeah,
I just think that I would have respected Megan more if she did it a lot sooner.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So Cassie leaves. Her phone rings again. It's like, oh my God, how many times are we going to hear that? I need you. It's like, oh my God, Cassie.
It seems like the majority opinion is that people are fatigued by Cassie's ringtone.
Yeah,
they didn't want it to stop. Maybe in season 3 she'll get a new ringtone, but probably not.
I doubt it. They're like, they love the running gag on the show. So Rick is calling Davey's husband. He says, it sounds like Davey never got on the plane. And this is the moment Cassie finally remembers her brother. I'm like, how are you not remembering Davey's texts when Megan is texting you? I'm like, I would give way more of a shit about what's going on with Davey than what's going on with Megan.
I totally agree, especially because we got a fourth text and I don't think that I knew that we got another text. And then this one in capital letters says, I really ruined it. And I'd be like, Davey, what are you up to? Like, yeah, what's going on with you?
At this point, I was thinking, maybe. So my first thought was maybe he slept with the cheese guy or the honey guy or whoever the guy was at the farmer's market. That was my first thought. But I quickly changed my tune as we get further in this episode. But that was my very first thought.
After last week, our discussion about Where is Davey? That was the quote. I was fully convinced at this rate that Jenny had Davey. There was no doubts in my mind. When I saw these text messages,
especially because they weren't phone calls. If something was really that urgent, you would call.
Davey is a caller.
He is a caller. We witnessed it.
He always calls. Yeah. I thought it was. I had a very strong feeling that these texts were not from Davey.
Yeah. And so Dot arrives and or Dot says, hopefully we'll be so right. So then they're in the car together and Dot's just like, hopefully we'll be at the office soon. They're in a huge amount of traffic. And I'm like, yeah, sure, Dot. Sure. You want that. And so Cassie's like, oh, do you mind if we stop at my place first? Like, I want to clean up. I want to go home. And she obviously wants to check on Davey. And Dot's just like, listen, like someone could be a danger to you. And she like grips Cassie's hand. And I'm just like, this is so freaking suspicious. I was like losing my mind at this point.
Yeah.
And then she says the line that we all have been waiting to hear, that she learned how to calm people down when she was in Iraq. And Dot says, oh, let's go to my place instead. You know, it's closer. You can clean up there. And I'm like, it's all bad. It's all bad.
It feels really terrible in this moment. Last week, once again, we were talking about, you know, the picture was the final piece of the puzzle. That is the picture of Grace in her army uniform, and it was ripped, and it was okay. So who's on the other side of the picture? So
yeah, and shout out to Miles on Twitter. He had, because we had talked about this and how important the picture would be and the fact that it was ripped in half, and he had sent us a photo, and you can clearly see the name on the uniform of the person next to Grace is Dot's last name. So
what, it's Carson, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 So that is such a cool Easter egg for people that, once again, are junior detectives. So if you zoom in, you definitely see. So yeah. So that was confirming to me. Also, I just, as soon as we went into Dot's home, I was not only very intrigued by Dot's interior design. Once again, so many modern apartments. Look at
they're very modern. Yeah, I thought so too. I was like, they're so like everyone's apartment is very like chic and slick.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and also it kind of reminded me of Grace's interior design as well. And I thought that was interesting because, I mean, if you can compare it to Cassie's apartment, which is more like eclectic and a little bit more like homey, I felt like it was interesting that Grace and Dot's apartment were kind of similar in their coldness and, you know, the modernity of it and how it I don't know, like it almost felt like super industrial. And like, you know, people that are in the army are very like, they are trained to be like meticulous, they're trained to be very tidy, they make their bed every morning. So I felt like it reminded me a lot of Grace's apartment, and I was like, maybe this is like a connecting factor between them. But yeah, uber modern. And of course, the only thing that I was looking for was the photograph.
Of course. And we get it right away. I do like that the show is like, we're not messing around. Like, we're going to give you the info right now. And so, and again, another suspicious moment. Dot sends away the two other CIA guys. They leave. She's like, I'll offer you a tour like after you decompress a bit. And then Cassie sees the other half of the photo. Granted, this one is not ripped. It is like nicely trimmed on the side. But yeah, there's the photo. And Cassie doesn't realize it at that moment. And I thought she would, because she does make a point of looking at Grace's photo before, but it doesn't click in her brain yet. I guess she did have a lot going on. So no fault of hers, but she goes to the bathroom and she's just kind of looking around. And then she sees Santal 33.
Yeah. Hold on. I just want to stand down and just commend Cassie for being a fellow medicine cabinet snooper. I have to say, Dot might be like a vicious killer, blah, blah, blah. great skincare regimen, though. She has some Kiehl's in there. She has some Tatcha.
Hyaluronic acid.
Yeah. She has a lot of really – she has the brand Fresh, which is also really nice. So I just want to say that she has a great skincare regimen, and I'm really happy
she
stays
looking so young.
Yeah, yeah. I think that I might want to follow her skincare regimen. And, of course, the Santal 33, the – what, $300 perfume for the smaller bottle?
Yeah.
Smaller bottle than what Cassie was holding.
And so then, of course, Cassie's back in the Mind Palace. She figures it out. I just love how all she sees is Miss Perfect. And she's like, where's the gold dress one or the impossibly sad one?
Yeah, she's definitely like, I don't want to speak to any of you. I only want to speak to specific Cassies.
Yeah, but Miss Perfect is just like, of course you ran into the killer's hands. And then again, she claps her hands and makes Cassie flashback to the moment on the Ferris wheel again. And she's like, life doesn't get better. You already know that. So why don't you just admit it?
And once again, they kind of just flash through all the hints that they gave, which I find enjoyable.
I do too. I think that it's really rewarding for, especially because this is, for the most part, it was a weekly episodic release. It's not a binge show. I mean, you could binge it obviously if you waited, but because it's not a binge show, and because you might have more casual viewers who aren't us and aren't like scoping out every single episode for clues and hints, I think it's great for a casual viewer to be like, oh, this is Dot. Dot is the killer. And here are the things we set up in the beginning as to why. And I love that. So Cassie gets back out of the Mind Palace. She calls Annie. And I again, beautiful. Perfect. We love to see it. Call Annie. Give her the download on all the information. It's Dot. Dot is Benjamin's boss. And I gotta say, Sarah, I was extremely impressed with Cassie's thinking here of saying, get Max, have him trigger an alarm remotely.
It's yeah, so very smart. Yeah, very, very smart in that moment. I think that also we have our gratuitous Max shirtless pick or shot in this moment.
Oh, yeah. We love to see it. He comes out with a towel around his waist and we're just like, yeah. Wait, what is it? I'm trying to think. Isn't there a movie? Or I can't remember what movie it is where they're like, drop the towel. Come on, just drop the towel. And it's like, that's how I feel in this moment where I'm like, yeah, Max looks great. The only one that would have been better is if Benjamin Barry was in a towel. But, you know.
Yeah, very true. So, yeah, she wants to get out of there. The alarm starts. And, yeah, it's a very smart because she knows that if Dotson the Dot was in Berlin. She had to be because of the ear ringing.
The ringing?
Oh. Yeah, Dot was in Berlin then. So I think that she was – they could have both been in Berlin.
For a hot second.
Was there a – because – this is why. Because remember Grace's
ears were not ringing.
Her ears were not ringing.
She said she was inside.
Exactly. So
– Dot was in Berlin.
Yeah, so Dot was in Berlin.
That makes sense.
This is why Cassie triggered the alarm because she has those pains. She knew that Dot would too.
That makes a lot of sense. But it's like, it's a great idea in theory. But unfortunately, Cassie's running out and Dot like grabs her. She's like, oh, it's just a false alarm. But Dot, being the creepy creeperson serial killer that she is like, oh, your breathing is quicker. Your pupils are dilated. And you know what? It looks like you have it's a sign of an adrenaline rush. Oh, you didn't put any shoes on, Cassie. Why is that? Why didn't you put any shoes on?
Yeah, Grace is. I mean, Dot was really creepy in this moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. This is kind of the, you know, big bad that we were looking for. Somebody that really has all of this worked out in her mind. Once again, I like seeing the master manipulation. And Dot is experienced in whatever this is. She knows what she's doing. She knows that if Cassie makes any certain move to defend herself, then she's able to claim that it's self-defense. Exactly. Who are you going to believe? The flighty, you know.
Flight attendant?
The flighty flight attendant that has a history of going off and being in places that she shouldn't be. And her, you know, report, her psych evaluation is all all sorts of messed up, or Dah, who's an established member of the CIA.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I do love the move of, why don't you tell me what you think you figured out? Like, I love the, like, she's patient, you know.
Yeah, that's also a manipulator move. Let Cassie tell you the information that you know instead of you giving up the information yourself.
Yep. And so Cassie says, I know Grace was in the military and you helped her out and she thought that you were using her. And Dot says, oh my gosh, like, that's ridiculous. She calls Grace and Cassie broken toys, which is so interesting to think about. It's so like these types of people, like Dot, these master manipulators, these people in high powered positions taking advantage of people who are, in her words, broken, right? They're vulnerable to her manipulation. And this makes complete sense as to why Cassie was even taken in as a CIA asset in the first place. Dot saw an opening and she took it. And so Cassie asks if Will was a broken toy too. And that is the guy who was, if you don't remember, he was the man who was blown up in the car in Berlin.
Yeah.
And we find out that he tried to blackmail Dot. And she says, the world's an effed up place, an unfair place. And then we see, like, this is when it's so, I love what they do with the Mind Palace stuff in this episode, because we're seeing Dot and Miss Perfect, like, kind of shift and change places. So, like, Miss Perfect is the one speaking these lines. And I think, I don't know, I kind of read this as Cassie being like, oh, you're just like Dot. Like, you're just as manipulative as Dot. Like, in her own head, she's like, am I as bad as she is?
Yeah. Yeah. But exactly. This is, once again, you know, the bad self-talk about, you know, your X, Y, and Z, you're a piece of shit, you're whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then this is kind of where, in the next moment, is where Cassie takes her power back and fights back against those bad demons in your head that tells you why you're all sorts of wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, Dot's like, oh, I could be your new role model. And FYI, if you walk towards me, the ballistics would support me being, like, defending myself, because it looks like you're coming at me. And we find out that the reason the Viewmaster was planted, it was a Dot special where she says, you've been captured on photo at every crime scene. And that makes sense, right? Like, she's setting her up to be the fall guy for this crime. And she's like, you know what? Your psych, you were the perfect person for this. Your psych eval said you cannot resist puzzles. And this is, I really enjoyed, again, a lot of the Mind Palace stuff I thought worked so well in this finale, where we see Cassie back in the Mind Palace. And Miss Perfect is there, and they're at, like, the huge bar in the lobby. And Cassie is so upset and she screams and she basically forces Miss Perfect, like, to crash into all the into the bar.
This is where I meant that she was taking the power back.
Yeah, no, this is it. This is the moment. She's taking, like, she is saying, this is like what you were saying, right? Where you have those that self-doubt, where you have those negative talks, right? This is where, like, in therapy, they say, like, you need to know how to rule out in your brain, like, what is a normal logical thought and what is anxiety or depression eating away at you, right?
Right.
And this is a moment where anxiety and negative self-talk is eating away at Cassie, and she's addressing it full on, face forward. She is addressing it. She is saying, I am not what you say I am. And so she kind of, like, forces Miss Perfect back, and she says, I would never choose death by suicide. I saw the light go out in Grace's eyes. And I love this moment. I feel like this is a very powerful moment for anybody who has had mental health struggles. Who hasn't, right? Anybody who has gone through that, who realizes, like, sometimes you just need to, like, say to the anxiety, say to the depression, say to your negative, that negative voice in your head, I am not what you say I am. You are just anxiety talking to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's an amazing thing to fight back those intrusive thoughts, and it's hard. And I like that this show I like how this show presents what that can look like to fight back with yourself. So yeah. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. And I do love, like, I thought that the bar was such a beautiful set piece all season long in the Mind Palace, right? It's just like beautiful, like bottles and just lights and just, it was just immaculate. Mm-hmm. I just loved her being able to destroy it and being like,
yeah, all you crashing like, down.
Yeah. And so then we're back with Cassie and Dot, and she says, yeah, you're wrong about me. I'm not going to believe any of your BS. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, did you tell what the hell she did? It looked like she pulled some type of alarm, but I don't.
So did Annie give this to her? I think it's one of those things where, so it's one of those, you know, like pepper spray.
Yeah.
It's something that it's like that, and it sounds off an alarm. So in case somebody is trying to attack you.
Oh, okay.
You sound this alarm so that people can come like running towards you.
Mm-hmm. I just don't remember where she got this.
People usually have them on their keychains and such.
Oh, okay. But again, amazing move by Cassie. She tries to run. The two men from the CIA come in and we're immediately like, oh no, like they're gonna take her. But instead, they move towards Dot and they grab her and they say, Ben Barry sent them.
Great moment. They could have done it a little bit quicker. I mean, Cassie was in this bad position. They could have came in for the assist a little sooner.
Yeah.
Just saying.
This is a great moment. I love Dot trying to be like, capture her. She's running away. Like Dot is protesting the entire time.
Yeah.
Great moment. One mystery solved. When we come back from our brief layover, we're going to solve the second mystery of the finale. Can't wait to talk about Jenny and her perfectly nice hammer. We will be right back.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Okay, we are back. We get, like, it's, I do love that we immediately are with Ben and Cassie outside. Like, we haven't seen Ben. We know he's okay. We know he was a minor stab wound. And it seems like he's wearing a sling, which I was like, oh, did his arm get injured too? I don't remember that. But looking good as ever, dapper in his suit. Even a stab wound can't make him, you know, not going to ruin his beautiful, beautiful aesthetic he has going on.
No, I like his suit as well. And his tie was a little loose because he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool CIA agent. Not like those other fuddy-duddies. He's cool.
Very cool. So this is, this is like, you know, a cool situation between them, and they kind of like lay out their relationship or their non-relationship rather.
Yeah.
And they kind of come to an understanding that maybe they're I don't know. Maybe they should put away whatever intimacy behind them for now.
Yeah, this was interesting. They wrap up things with Dot. You know, she was selling access to CIA records for years. And the reason they figured out that Dot was bad was one of the officers had mentioned that she brought Cassie to her place instead of the office. And it's a huge breach of protocol. And so that was kind of what triggered them figuring out that Dot was, I mean, Ben Barry was already like hot on the case, right?
I love how Cassie just falls into the like being a good civilian CIA agent when she's actually really, but you know, she has a good success rate, so she keeps like falling into like, look, I'm like great at this job, but it's just like maybe you're definitely not, but okay.
Yeah, she falls into success very often. I feel like her shenanigans end up putting her into danger more often than not, and then she just somehow gets out by the skin of her teeth. But yeah, and then you're right. They do kind of like say like, oh, you should come into the office for a debrief. And I do love how they both agree. They're like, I don't remember what happened in the office. And Cassie's like, what office? and he's like, yeah, you did a good job. I do love the high five. I thought that was a very cute little high five they had together. Yeah. I think I'd be very interested if we do get a season three. I think that more of the Cassie Ben buddy cop is very fun and interesting as an option. If they want to explore that, I think they have great chemistry just in general, not like necessarily romantic chemistry, but in general. And I think seeing more of them would be really fun.
Yeah. And I also think that it leaves it open to, I mean, maybe something else could happen in the future, but definitely not now.
Yeah, yeah. And so, so then Davey texts again. He says he screwed up and he can't go home. And my notes, I'm like, did he F Cheese Man?
Yeah, Davey. I mean, this is definitely what they're making it seem like. I understand why we had that weird moment with the cheese dude at the farmer's market. I think that this is what we're meant to think. But I think that you and I were definitely like, oh, yeah, Jenny, like, what shenanigans are you up to?
Yeah, yeah. So then, of course, Jenny picks up and she's like, oh, Davey threw his phone. He's in the backyard pacing and yelling. And I'm like, sure, Jenny.
Yeah, this is like, this is so uncharacteristic of Davey. This is so... so yeah. Weird. I'd be like, Cassie's like, oh my gosh, my brother, like, what is he doing? I must come right away.
I imagine like the way she said it, because remember earlier in the season, Davey does drop that he struggles with OCD. And so I was wondering if it was like he's had these like, I don't know, episodes maybe is what I call them, or like a little bit breakdowns or something. Like maybe this isn't the first time this has happened and Jenny's playing that on
that.
That
could be fair, but then how would... I guess Davey just must have told her a lot about him. If I was Cassie in this moment, I'd be like, hey, Ben, like, I know this might be a little bit weird, but do you mind just coming with me to visit my brother? Like, it seems like he's in a state, but Cassie just thinks that she can handle it on her own.
As usual. So then she goes to Jenny's house, this massive old lady house. Jenny's pouring tea and she's just like, can you just like show me where Davey is? Like, why are we wasting time on tea? She says, oh, it's my grandma's house. She passed away recently. And I'm just like, yeah, sure, Jan. Sure, Jenny. Not true.
Well, okay. So this like house seemed like the interior seemed like a Victorian dollhouse. Mm-hmm. And it does fit Jenny's aesthetic. Like even... the entryway matched this like pink sweater that she was wearing. So I don't think it, like, if Jenny had her home, I don't think it would be crazy to think that she would decorate her home like this.
No. That's not where I was like, I was mostly sus because I'm like, Jenny, you're sus as hell. Like,
yeah, like how, where did Jenny get the money that she has like this big giant like, you know, mansion?
But I do love, like you mentioned before, you talked a little bit about like the modern apartments of Grace and Dot versus the more eclectic apartment of Cassie versus this Victorian old lady palace that Jenny has. Like, I love how they use
decor in this show. I think it's so fascinating. It's very obvious to me that they spent a lot of time thinking about how would so-and-so decorate their place.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. I commend set dressers and decorators, designers. It's kind of the profession that gets, you know, overlooked a lot because they really set the scene and they spend a lot of time building things up and creating a space that's visually interesting only to get ripped down sometimes the same day or the next day as if it never existed, because once they finish one scene, they have to move on to the next. So I always commend dressers, especially because, you know, you spent all this time building for it to all, you know, evaporate.
Yeah. And so, she's like, oh, my boyfriend thinks I should just get rid of the place. So then we're upstairs and Davey is just like passed the F out, like face down on a couch. Cassie's phone rings and Jenny picks it up. It's Annie. And then we see she's holding a hammer. Behind her, we see, I thought maybe this was a case of, I couldn't quite make out Buckley's face at this moment. And so I thought first she's just obsessed with Cassie's case. You know, there's people everywhere that are really obsessed with true crime. Yep. And so I thought it made sense, right? She's obsessed with this. And she smashes Cassie's phone with the hammer. She's like, oh, he's not going to wake up anytime soon. I gave Davey a ton of Ativan. There is no podcast. The alcoholism was a lie. This isn't my house.
Jenny, you're just like laying all out there. You don't even have a podcast, Jenny.
I know. The audacity. You know what? It makes a lot of sense because she didn't understand the nuance with which you're supposed to invite guests and talk about your podcast. So it checks that she doesn't actually have one because we said that she wasn't doing it correctly before. You know,
yeah, so. I love how Jenny just spent a ton of time scrapbooking, and like creating. It's like she went to Target, she got her poster board, she got her stickers, and then like went back and started like cutting all this stuff out, and she was making like a vision board. She has like all these pictures and like words, and the words are like liar, psycho, floozy, loser, fake, criminal, trash.
It's like, yes.
And then she has so fucking funny butterflies on stickers, butterfly stickers. And then on the other side, she has like a full shrine for Buttley and like not even one picture of his butt.
There were so many. Well, to be fair, when she's visiting him in jail, like she's mainly only looking at his face. I guess when he gets up and walks away, she could see his butt. But like maybe the jumpsuit just doesn't accentuate.
Maybe not.
You know.
But I love that she also then went to Michael's and got all the scrapbooking supplies.
It's so funny to me to think how much time she spent on this how many pictures of his face she printed out. Like, it's not just one. Like, there's like 30.
Oh, no, a billion. And also, I got to tell you, I used to take up scrapbooking. It's an expensive hobby.
Oh, yeah.
It's very expensive.
And what do you do with it after? You just leave it? Like, you just like put it away on a shelf? Do you look at it again?
I mean, once in a while when you're like, oh yes, like here's my scrapbook of my relationship of like my ex-boyfriend. What am I going to do with this now?
Ooh, like, memories.
Yeah. I'll have to show you my scrapbooks one day. They're put away and very embarrassing. Like I had like a scrapbook of my now fiance from, I don't know, the first year of dating. Uh-huh. And it's like the scrapbook is like our first date. And it's like a printout of, this is so bad, a Best Buy, a Toys R Us, like a picture of a Best Buy, a picture of a Toys R Us,
Sarah,
and then a picture of like the local diner. We were really young when we had this first date. And it was like where we first met. And it's like so embarrassing and terrible. And I like cut this shit out when I was 18 years old.
You purposely were like, I'm going to print out Best Buy logo and cut it out.
Absolutely. I absolutely did. And like,
I had to get my color printer out.
And I didn't drive and had like train tickets. So I like was pasting in my train tickets when I went to go visit him. It's It's ridiculous. And I spend money on this stupid scrapbook. So I enjoy Jenny's hustle with her scrapbooking technique. It seems like she's advanced. She had a lot of layering, which is a good move when you are scrapbooking. But yeah, back to the hammer.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So great.
Back to the hammer.
And so, yeah, so she's obviously in love with Felix. And we see she visited him in jail. She first lies and she's a journalist. She's writing a story on the Alex Sokolov case. And then immediately she admits that she lies. She is one of those creepy creepersons who, like, this is so effed up, right? Where people fall in love with serial killers and she found him. I died
at the name of this blog. Service.
Yeah. She found him on a blog called Dapper Death.
Ooh. Like,
the F Dapper Death. And he says, I did do the things I was convicted of. I did them all because I was in love. And so of course Jenny eats this up, right? She's just like, oh my gosh, what a romantic. You killed for love. She loves it. And he's like, oh, do you know who Cassie Bowden is? So we get the whole backstory. They're writing letters back and forth. He says he couldn't find love again. He can't get Cassie out of his head. Maybe if you find her, though, maybe if you just are more like her, watch her, study her, but you have to tell me everything. So this is very much like he's getting sustenance from Jenny. Pretending to be Cassie, finding Cassie, studying Cassie. I bet if she was gone, I could love you. This but is so
also
up.
He's also trying to keep tabs on what Cassie is doing.
Yeah. He wants the info, right? Like Jenny he's a master manipulator. Jenny is his ticket to getting information on Cassie and ultimately getting her killed. And Jenny was already obviously very, very messed up before visiting Felix. But he manipulates her so much so that this was a huge thing in season one where we were like, oh my God, like he like tortured cats and like hung their dead bodies from trees and stuff. And freaking Jenny says, because I love Cassie being like, did you hear about his cats? And Jenny's like, those cats deserved it.
I snort laughed when she said that. I was like, that's sick, Jenny.
This was so funny to me. I was like,
Jenny's not even a fucking cat person.
That's the thing. You think she might be a cat person.
Yeah.
She kind of seems like she'd be a cat person. No offense to the cat people of the world. Okay. But like, she feels like a bit like someone who stays at home and takes care of her cats. She doesn't leave. Except to go to Michael's to buy scrapbooking supplies. And so, my favorite point in the entire finale was Cassie saying, are you going to kill me with an effing hammer? She's holding this like old school, like carpenter hammer. Mm-hmm. And Jenny just looks at the hammer, looks at Cassie and goes, Cassie, it's a perfectly nice hammer.
Yeah, that really sent me over the edge. But what a way to go via hammer.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. I'll never get over that line. Cassie, it's a perfectly nice hammer.
I wonder if that was within the script or if that was like an ad lib. Because it just like seems just so random but funny. That's something
it's the delivery, right? Like it's the delivery from the actress Jessie. Like she just like, and she does this in the other shows too, where she is like obviously not all there. She's obviously like there's something going on, but she's so like adamant about things that it's so funny.
Yeah. Like, you know, you should be honored to be killed by this hammer. It's a great hammer. What's your hammer stats? How many hammers do you have?
I just have a single hammer.
I have a great hammer. I'm not going to lie.
Is it big? What makes it great?
It's huge and it's heavy and it's weighty. It's a really perfectly nice hammer.
It's a perfectly nice hammer. I'd say mine's like an adequately nice hammer. Really like rank the hammers. But to be fair, my hammer isn't rusty like Jenny's is. So like the rust, but it's smaller. It's definitely smaller than Jenny's, but it's less rusty. So
yeah,
you know, we have that going for us.
Yeah. I might have accidentally on purpose taken the hammer that I have. And that's why it's so nice.
You stole a hammer.
No, No. Okay. So I was at my first university, and on the grounds, I found this hammer.
And you kept it.
And I kept it.
Okay, well, this isn't stealing. That's just like finding it.
Yeah, I found it. Exactly.
Finders, keepers, losers, weepers, as they say.
Yeah, and it's really, really nice.
Can you imagine bringing a hammer to the lost and found? I mean, like, I found this on campus. Here you go. What if it was a murder tool? What if you have had murder weapon in your home all these years?
Okay, but like, I can just also just respect seeing a hammer and being like, you know what, this is a perfectly nice hammer and it's now mine. And to think I am 15 years, no,
you don't age yourself on the podcast.
I'm 10 years out of
this was
college.
2 years ago that no, you I'm found not. This hammer.
I don't know how long it, no man it was okay
it was like 10 no. years ago.
No, it was like 15 years out of college.
Okay.
Since I found the hammer, because I found it freshman year of college.
So you've had this, so you bonded with the murder hammer.
I've had this hammer for 15 years, nearly as long as my current relationship.
Oh. I don't know and why
I
that.
I don't know if I'm more connected to the hammer or to my fiance.
There you go. So the perfectly nice hammer is ready to go. We're back in the Mind Palace and Cassie's just like, you're all still here? Why won't you go away? And they're like, why won't you let us go away? We're not the ones doing this. You are. And so she is ready to leave them all behind. She's like, why can't I get rid of them? And we're seeing kind of the lights going in and out. And Cassie gets this realization where she says, it's me. It's all me. And we see like flashes of each one of them as Cassie in real life, right? We see flight attendant Cassie. We see Cassie as a teen, right? We get all of these flashes. And she says, we need to get along in case we all die. We need to run. I need to get Davey out of here. And so she's running through the Mind Palace and she's kind of like towing the others behind her. And then real life Cassie is trying all these doors in this house, but they're all locked. They all have those old school gem door handles, which I loved that detail.
Ooh, I actually I've bought in one of those. You can go to your local antique store and buy crystal handles, and once again, very weighty and very nice.
Yeah. I just like the look of them, you know, especially in this house. She's trying all these doors. They're all locked. She finally gets in one and she locks the door behind her. Jenny is like going through the house looking. She's like, Cassie, where are you? Like going through the house. She finally gets into Cassie's room because she just starts breaking the doorknobs. These very expensive crystal doorknobs she's smashing with this perfectly nice hammer. And she gets into Cassie's room and she, the lights are going like in and out in the Mind Palace elevator. And then we see like real Cassie is kind of like coming, going from the elevator. She's hiding in a closet in this room. Jenny is turning on the lights and we see, I don't even know. There is a blow up doll with Felix's face pasted on it. What?
Seems just like a Saturday night to me.
This is how Jenny spends her. Oh my God. Okay. What if Jenny, maybe if it's not like sexual, right? Like let's pretend it's not sexual for like a hot second. And let's just say, what if Jenny, because Jenny seems like this kind of gal who's like scrapbooking on a Saturday night with her Felix blow up doll keeping her company. And she's just like chattering along to it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, she needs a companion. This is her companion. Yeah, this has like become the house of horrors now. Everywhere you turn, there's another thing to see. And is this the room that Jenny was staying in? Why is the Buckley Felix blow up doll in this closet in particular?
Yeah, well, it's especially creepy because then there's old dead lady under the bed. And I'm like, Jenny, did you kill this old lady, shove her under a bed, and then stay in her room with your Felix blow-up doll and like sleep together in her king size bed?
That is definitely what happened. Yes, that
it's
is true.
Creepy. And so then we get we're back in the Mind Palace elevator, and all of the Mind Palace Cassies are kind of saying goodbye and like disappearing until Cassie is alone in this elevator. And the lights finally stay on. They stop flickering.
And isn't that nice? A nice metaphor.
It was really great, honestly. Okay,
so for me, this is her accepting herself. These are pieces of herself. They all come within her. And yeah, literally, the lights come on. She figures it out.
Yeah, I think that she kind of is self-accepting at this point, right? Yeah. I don't know if that's a phrase, but like she accepts who she is. She recognizes that all of these individual Cassies in the Mind Palace are her. They're all parts of her. And like accepting that that is the truth, right? That there's the trauma teen Cassie who went through some shit. She saw some stuff. She's just at the beginning of her alcoholism. There's Miss Perfect Cassie who is the very negative self-talk of you're never going to be good enough and why don't you just end it all now. There's the chaotic gold dress Cassie who just wants to party and have fun. And then, of course, there's Black Hole Cassie who is, like, to me, like a depression version of Cassie.
Right.
And she recognizes that, like, yeah, maybe I don't like all of these parts of myself, but they are all there.
Right.
And yeah, maybe I'm battling some inner demons, but they're all a part of me. And I need to, like, accept that and stop fighting against the fact that these parts are a part of me.
Exactly. Season one was about denial. She was denying who she was, mm-hmm. you know, what she was about even earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And season two for me is acceptance, accepting. Yeah. Who you are and what you're about and the pros and the cons and all the dirty details in between.
Yeah. And I really, really loved the imagery of Cassie is in the closet, but it is the elevator. And she's looking out of the elevator and there's Jenny in the room. Mm-hmm. And we get Jenny about to open the closet doors and Cassie just tackles her. Like, she is done hiding. She is done running. She is ready to take on the world, like, just running and tackling this world, right? And so she tackles Jenny, and she's just like, you can have Felix, he's a killer. She's like, and so this is when she sees good old Davey stumbling,
zombie with Davey,
yeah, with the classic cartoon pot in his hand, right? He has like what are those called, cast iron pans in his hand.
Those are, once again, this is the word of the week, weighty. It's a weight. Those are very weighty. Probably
it's a very good weapon.
It is. Yeah. I wonder if they seasoned, if they know how to properly season their cast iron skillet.
I mean, the thing is that you probably wouldn't want it properly seasoned because it would have oil and it'd be a bit slicker. So I think you want it to be not properly seasoned. Mm.
I've ruined a cast iron pan before. You want to always properly season your cast iron.
Not when
iron
you're
pan.
Trying to kill somebody with it.
I suppose not. So yeah, he hits her then. Cassie hits her with a vase. She's knocked out, and Davey and Cassie console each other in the moment. They have survived the situation.
I do love the way Cassie, the way she stalls for time, where she admits, she's like, you know what? You're right. I can't lie. This is who I am. I'm deeply flawed. I'm a deeply flawed, sad, alcoholic, narcissistic thrill addict, and I don't like myself very much, but that's who I am, and it's enough for me. And that, I feel like she's putting into words what the visual that we saw in the elevator.
Exactly.
Like, she's calling out all the individual Mind Palace Cassies.
Exactly.
And yeah, I love this moment where Davey and Cassie kind of fall together. They're safe, finally. And then we go to, we're catching back up with Megan. Where we find out that she worked with Shane. She's now in witness protection, and she gets put me in witness protection because damn, that house was nice.
It was a nice house. It was a nice house. It just reminds me of Our Lips Are Sealed, the Mary Kate and Ashley movie. Whenever I think of witness protection, I'm like, oh, okay. So you get put up in good digs all over the world.
Yeah.
She's like,
ridiculous. If I'm Shane, I'm putting Megan in like a one bedroom apartment. Yeah, I'm not giving her this nice place. This is a really nice place. Not only that, I don't think Megan deserves this happy ending. I'll be very clear. Her son and her husband pop out of the car. And I'm just like, last we met them, they were like, no, Megan, like, you made your bed. Now you're going to lie in it.
Yeah.
We don't want to see you. And like, all of a sudden, her husband's just like, yeah, the yard looks great.
We're going to make it work. Yeah, it is a very, you know, picture perfect, tying a bow ending. And I don't know if the character of Megan deserves or if this is actually how this would come up. I think that once again, it's, you know, we're giving Rosie Perez the happy ending and more so Megan.
Yeah, I didn't think it was very well earned, to be honest. Like, I just think that, like, I don't know. I feel like Megan shouldn't have the happy ending that Cassie gets. I feel like she, not that Cassie didn't make mistakes, she did, but I don't know. I wasn't very satisfied with, I thought that maybe if she, okay, maybe she's in witness protection, but I don't think her family joins her, right? Like, I just felt like that was a bit much. But Shane gives her a note, stay out of trouble, and they all walk inside. Her husband, like, grabs her hand as they walk in. Again, very, very warm and fuzzy ending for Megan.
Yeah. Would you want to see a season 3 with the character of Megan?
No, I think we're done with her. I don't think we need more. I think she got her happy ending. We don't need to bring her back to then, like, put her in peril again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that I don't know what else from her story we need to see. I would be happy if this was the last moments that we saw with Megan on the show.
Yeah. So then we see Cassie's FaceTiming with Davey and Rick. We find out that Davey is now hooked on yoga. And Cassie is
super zen.
Yeah.
We're doing like a time jump here. Is this what it is? It's a month. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. And so Cassie has to go to work. She's like off for 2 weeks. We do see she took down her sexy photo for that we loved so much.
Yeah. I will say that she already smashed it. Whatever. I suppose that it was time to take down that photo.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means for her. If that means,
I wonder if
that
it was just like Marco. It was like he took it, or whatever.
If that's like the past of her, but she's out the door. Brenda comes. She's missing a meeting. She's been sober for a month, as you said, and she still feels very, you know, on the donut duty. She takes it very seriously.
Yeah, and she says, I feel good. I'm not going to drink today. So that's good. Like, I like that she.
Day
by day. Exactly. She's saying, I'm not going to drink today. That's the best I can do right now. It's like, I'm not drinking today.
Yeah. I think that when you set yourself a goal of, I don't know, a year, sometimes some people don't operate like that. Sometimes they need to take it day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. Better to set yourself short-term goals to accomplish them. If you set yourself lofty long-term goals, it feels like it's so far away that it's unattainable. So yeah, I've
like read something like if you're trying to lose weight, like don't think of it as whatever, like 50 pounds. Think of it as like 2 pounds in a few weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that leads you to more success.
Mm-hmm. Then we see her on the plane. She's eating her hot tamales. We see a kid who's flying that's given a stuffed bunny by a flight attendant. Again, more bunny imagery. We see Cassie picks up her phone. I also noticed she has a bunny phone case as well. And so she is going to text someone and she stops. And so then we see her call someone and I'm like, huh, I wonder. I was at first thinking, like, is it Marco? That doesn't make much sense. But no, of course it's her mom. I thought this moment was such a great way to near the end of the show.
Yeah.
Where she's making amends with her mom. She says, I just wanted to tell you, I heard you. It couldn't have been easy for you to say it. I'm sure you didn't enjoy saying what you said to me. I know I hurt you a lot. You probably don't believe me when I say I'm changing, but I am. I hope you can see it. I know it might take a while. I won't be better overnight, but I want you to know I'm taking the steps I need to take to get there. Maybe you can just watch from a safe distance. And her mom is sitting silently this whole time. And she says, thank you for listening. And her mom finally offers her a little bit of like the carrot, right? Where she's like, I hope we can talk again very soon. I almost wish. Okay. Cause we know, I feel like the slap makes it really hard for me when her mom slaps her. I almost wish it didn't happen, even though I love the shock and horror on Cassie's face when it does. But I almost wish, because to me, this is a huge moment. This is a big win for Cassie and her mom, right? Totally. This conversation is a huge win. It felt slightly extra to then go the extra step of the I love yous. And I don't know. To me, I feel like as someone who like doesn't hand out I love yous super freely, to me, I felt like we could have ended it just with the I hope we can talk again very soon, because that is a massive step. The I love yous felt a little bit unrealistic to me, because they've been they've had such a contentious relationship for so long. I don't know. How did you take this scene?
I really enjoyed the scene. I think that Cassie was finally saying words that were genuine and was truly how she was feeling, and kind of gave her mom the rope to be like, you don't have to forgive me right now, and you need time, and you know, maybe you can watch me from a distance. I thought that was all very fair and made sense to me. In terms of the I love yous, I don't think that I was dwelling on that as much. I think that it is, they do love each other. And I think that they probably haven't said it to each other in a long time. And it's something that Cassie really needed to hear. So I think if anything, I was happy in this moment that she got that affirmation from her mom. And it's almost sad. Like if both Cassie and her mom feel it, but are so stubborn or, you know, or whatever to say it, it's lingering, left unsaid. And it's almost, it's like you are left thinking like, well, do they really love me? And I think that when you experience loss in your life, things shouldn't be left unsaid. You never know what tomorrow brings. So I think that I was accepting in this moment of the I love yous, because if you feel it, then I would hope that you're able to open yourself up to say it.
Yeah, I guess for me it was like they already expended a ton of emotional energy on both sides, right? With Cassie with this big monologue and with her mom accepting that monologue and listening and finally, you know, being like able to believe Cassie. And so I think for me that was enough. And like the I love yous just felt a little bit like realistically, but, would they guess?
But the reason why Cassie is saying these words is because she loves her mom. And the reason why her mom is listening to what is said is because she loves her daughter. They do love each other. They never stopped loving each other. So I'm sure it's something that they both needed to hear in that moment.
Yeah. But overall, beautiful moment between them. I'm so happy we got this in the show. I think that like, are they best friends now? No. Are they the perfect like mother-daughter relationship? Absolutely not. But this is a step forward. It's a step in the right direction. It's the first bit of healing that they're going to have.
Right.
And I really enjoyed the reconciliation between them. And I loved that it was, I think when Cassie called, she knew she would have a limited amount of time, right? She's about to get on a plane. She's about to fly. She knows she only has a few minutes. So this is not intended to be a long conversation.
Right.
It's also on the phone. It's not FaceTime. It's not in person. It's none of those things. So there's still a little bit of distance between them, but it is a step forward. And I think that it was very well earned on the show. This show is so excellent at hitting these emotional beats, especially the family dynamic ones we've talked about before, Davey and Cassie's relationship and how much we enjoyed that. And it was a really wonderful moment to watch. And then with the last scene, that could have easily been the last scene of the episode. But instead, we end on Annie and Max's wedding in Vegas.
This is where they lost me. Maybe this was like a step too far. I don't know.
Yeah, so they get married in Vegas. And so then I see Shane and Cassie there, and I'm like, what the F is Shane doing here? But it turns out he's Cassie's date. And she's like, at least it's not a memorial, right?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know how I feel about all of this scene, I guess it's nice to see that Annie and Max figured their crap out together. To me, I was more focused on, like, Annie had, like, a bump in the back of her hair, but Cassie's bump was bigger in the back of her hair. And I was like, you're going to overshine the bride with your hair bump on her wedding day?
That's what you noticed.
Yeah, I was really, really focused on
that. I thought Annie looked beautiful. I loved this. I thought, obviously,
well, she was dressed very like Lisa Marie Presley.
She looked wonderful. Yeah. And Cassie was in her like floral outfit. And so we find out that Annie and Max started a PI firm, which again, I'm obsessed with. And Shane has to leave. He has a flight to catch. And he says to Cassie, "That was a very, very, very bad lady. You're golden at the CAA. You don't even need to worry about it."
I take it back. I think Priscilla Presley, one of them. Oh, it was okay. Very bad.
I didn't know. So,
well, Priscilla was Elvis's wife. Lisa Marie was their daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was very like reminiscent between the hair and the dress.
There's the Elvis impersonator there.
Yeah.
And so then Annie and Cassie are having like a little cute moment together and they like boop each other's nose. It's very cute. And Annie's just like, I don't know, like, what is this even? And Cassie's like, can you just be happy for like 1 second? Like, your wedding is beautiful. Look how happy Max is. Like, you gotta like let yourself enjoy this. And then I love Annie saying, I'm gonna do a thing now and you have to play along. First of all, I hate this. Like, I've been to many weddings as a single woman. Thank God I'm married and I don't have to play along with this anymore. I hate the bouquet toss. I never want to participate. I always get roped into participating. And yeah, I'm so happy that Cassie just lets it fall to the floor. Good on you, Cassie. Don't let that pressure take over.
Sure.
How do you feel about a bouquet toss?
I feel like it's a little overdone and tacky now.
Thank you. Same. I hate it. I do like that Annie was like doing it as a joke, though.
I mean, no other singles were there.
There was only like 10 people. So and Cassie just lets it fall on the floor. And then we get, I thought this was kind of strange. I don't know. You tell me. A lot of the trio of Max, Annie, and Cassie dancing. And I'm like, Cassie, you're really third wheeling it at a wedding right now.
Actually, you know what? I actually disagree with that. At my best friend's wedding in January, her husband, who was the loveliest guy, he made a point to dance with my best friend's mom, sister, myself, like all the grandma, all the really important people in their wedding. And there was a time where the three of us, me, my best friend and her husband and I, were dancing together.
Oh, okay. So it's not that unusual.
No. And it was lovely. It was,
all right, well, there
it
you
was
go.
A lovely move.
It was cute. They did have some cute moves. He was like spinning them both. Very cute. So very, very happy note to end. I almost wish it was a little bit reversed. I almost wish we ended on the scene between Cassie and her mom and this was like pushed a scene above. But again, such a tiny quibble with an overall amazing finale.
Well, it leaves the season hopeful and it reminds me of last season where it was left hopeful as well. Mm-hmm. I remember last season it ended with Cassie on a plane flying to wherever, just signed on to the CIA, and it ends with her having like a little subtle smile. And I'm pretty sure this season ended with like a little smile as well.
Yeah.
So it leaves off as hopeful, you know, the world is your oyster, everything is okay, only for it to potentially go crashing down again next season.
Yeah. 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 Speaking of a season three, we talked a little bit at the top of the podcast. Like, we haven't heard anything so far. No word on if it's going to be renewed. I personally think there's still story to be told here. Obviously, like, Cassie's journey with sobriety, it's not over yet. It continues every day for her. And so I think I don't necessarily want to watch her struggle a ton again, but I think there's something there if they pursue it, if they want to pursue it. I think it's there, right? Like, they can explore more with a lot of these characters. So I'm definitely open to a season three. I think it could be a ton of fun. I think something with Annie and Max's PI firm could be very fun. Bring Ben Barry back because we need some more eye candy on our television screens. There's a lot to be done there. Sarah, what do you think? Like, what would you be hopeful for a season three if they did choose to continue?
Well, once again, sobriety, you should be taking day by day. So if there are struggles, then I would understand that. However, of course, I want to see Cassie with the win. I'm probably less high on the Annie and Max PI firm than you. Like, I'm like not that sold on that at all. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you want to explore that, sure, why not? I just kind of just want to see what other shenanigans Cassie gets herself into. She is definitely in a better place, but she still has this affinity for putting herself into these like nasty, bad situations. So maybe she should work on that next. I think that should be a goal. And if she decides to go for therapy one day, that should be a goal.
We did get a little bit of feedback from Nick. He says, a good ending to an up and down season. I liked the mind palace, internal struggles, mental health, and substance abuse angles. I didn't love the James Bond crime syndicate stuff. Therefore, next season, I would like it if Cassie and her friends went to a farm and spent the season working through their shit.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
I think you could place these actors anywhere and it would still be a ton of fun. Like, I really love the Annie Max, Cassie trio in general. I think there's a ton of fun there. I would hopefully leave Megan behind a little bit. I think bring Miranda back just for like an episode would even be fun. Overall, really enjoyed this season. I think they did a stellar job. I'm so curious to see if they do a season three, what it would look like, what the mind palace of that season might be. Overall, super high on the show. I think it ended up being a ton of fun. Even if you solve the mystery, it's not really what the show, I think, is about.
At the core, I don't think that's the mystery of it is what the show is about.
Exactly. So loved covering this. This was tons of fun. Let's shout out again where you can find us, because now that this journey is over, Sarah, what can people hear you doing?
Yeah. So Jessica and I, once again, we have our own podcasts on our own network, Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, where we cover Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek. We are starting season 6 of Boy Meets World, the college years, and we are in the middle of season 4 of Dawson's Creek. Lots of fun with both, as well as other 90s movies and bonus content. So catch us there at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And then Jessica and I will also be starting a new venture together. More traveling. We focus on things where we travel.
We love to travel. We're jet setters.
Instead of country to country, we're going from time to time.
Yeah, we're traveling through time. We're going to be catching up on The Time Traveler's Wife, which is also an HBO show. So if you are listening to this in the HBO feed for post-show recaps, you don't have to go anywhere. It's great news for you. You can stay right here. That's where it's going to be launched, is in this feed specifically. It's an HBO Max show, The Time Traveler's Wife, based on the original book of the same name. They also had a movie with Rachel McAdams back in the day. It wasn't a great movie, gotta say. But we're going to be covering the show. It already has a few episodes out, so we're going to catch up. We're playing a little bit of catch up. We were on vacation. We're back. Going to catch up on the show. Going to be releasing the first 3 podcasts Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all to be caught up in time for episode 4 on Sunday. I'm super excited to cover the show. I've seen 1 episode so far. I was pretty impressed with it. I thought they did a good job.
It's very detailed. And I just reread the book. And I think that they're doing a good job with all the small nuances and details that the movie missed.
Amazing. Great. Because I have the book.
That's my opinion for free.
Free little spoiler, or not free, free little taste of what your opinion
taste
is.
Taste of what you can hear. Yeah.
So definitely check all of that out. Sarah is at Sarah Ferguson I am at the Jess Sterling. You can always find me podcasting on Post Show Recaps. Community Building is coming back in June. Super pumped to get back to season 3 of Community there. Yeah, I think beyond that and Shit 90 Shows taught me, I want to say that's all I have going on unless I'm guesting on things, but always just check out my Twitter. That's where I put everything. So at the Jess Sterling. And of course, finally, I read feedback a little bit ago from Nick. That came from our Post Show Recaps Discord. If you're a patron at any level, you get access to the Discord. The $5 level, you get a little of a tasting, a little hot tamale, if you will, of the Discord. But if you get if you join at the $10 level, you get full on Discord access to all the channels. I know. There's everything. Like, literally, if you want to talk about anything, there's going to be both a place to do so and someone who wants to chat with you about said thing. So please join us, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon or patreon.com/postshowrecaps to become a patron today. We're coming up on the beginning of the month, which is honestly the best time to join because it charges you right away. So join June 1st. Check everything out. Tag me. Tag Sarah. We love chat. That's where we're housed. So, yeah, we appreciate everyone for checking out this podcast and sticking with us through this second season. Hopefully there's a third. We're going to cross our fingers that there is. But thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Sarah, any final words before we land this plane?
I don't know. It's a perfectly nice podcast. I think we should end it here.
You go. Thank you all for listening to our perfectly nice podcast. We're going to land this plane. So have a good one, everybody. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.